And I like real people. I like genuine people. I like people that are what they are, no matter where you see them. I don't like people that, when they're in a setting with certain people, they act one way, and then when they're with not those other people, they act a different way. I just like people to be, you could be all mad and nasty, but just be mad and nasty all the time. Or you could be happy and excited, but just be happy and excited all the time. Amen. Doesn't matter who you're around, and I appreciate that your pastor, his wife, they are that way, and just genuine and love the Lord. And it's great to be with you. Heard a lot about the church here and this great congregation. It is tremendous to be here. Glad my wife is with me. My daughter is somewhere over there. Yeah, there she is. Okay. Without my glasses, I can't see. But anyway, I want to just let me take a moment to just say a couple of things. Brother Kyle mentioned the miraculous offering at General Conference. It ended up being $4.3 million that was pledged and some given. Almost a million has already come into the office. Amen. The brother that was going to sell the building, we got the check the next week. I've already, the check cleared the bank, and it's done. It's all, it's a good deal. It is just amazing. We got rings and watches and stuff given. A shotgun was donated, and things we're getting more rings. People are giving watches. We have missionaries that are traveling, and people have come up recently to one missionary and gave him a Rolex, said, here's a Rolex, and that's my offering, and whatever you can get for that, you know. We get emails and calls from pastors. They went home to their church and said, I pledged $10,000. I don't know how we're going to pay it. I just felt in that service, God said to do it, so I pledged it. And the church took up $20,000. These things are just happening. And just on a weekly basis, we're getting emails and calls from all across North America what God is doing. Some of our nations overseas have gotten involved. Amen. I really believe with all of my heart that God did something in that service and that there was a shift in the United Pentecostal Church International. I really believe we are going to see some things that we have not seen yet. Because when we begin to give that way, as Brother Mangan said, other things, residual things begin to happen that we didn't even plan on. But God begins to do it. My wife and I made a pledge, and we said, well, I don't know how this amount we're going to do it. And I was in Indonesia last week. I just got back. So about 1 o'clock, my body starts shutting down. So you got about 30 more minutes. It's midnight. It's 12:30 at night for me. But I'll get there in a couple of days. I'll be all leveled out and everything will be good, I hope. But I was in Indonesia. My wife sent me an email. She said, I don't know. I got this check back from our taxes, and they said we overpaid our taxes. I hadn't got one of those back in probably 15 years, but I'll take it. I walked into my office Thursday when I got back from Indonesia, and there was a check on my desk from Allied Waste Management Services. And I said, this isn't for me. It's a mistake. It's the headquarters address. I gave it back to the secretary. I said, this is not for me. It must be some mistake. Check it out. And they checked. It's not them. They called. They said, no, this is for him personally. He's overpaid. I said, I don't know how I overpaid my Allied Waste Services, but between those two checks that we just got, we met our pledges to global missions and to North American missions, and I got enough left over to go to McDonald's. Hallelujah. But that's what God does. That's the way God operates. Because His economy is not our economy. Let me tell you something. I'll just be honest with you. According to the world, no one can afford to pay tithes. You cannot afford to give 10% of your income. That's not after you pay all your bills, by the way. That's on the gross before taxes. But that's for another subject another day. Nobody can afford to do that according to human reasoning. But God's economy works different. And when we put God first, His seed is never begging bread. We're never forsaken. We're never left of God. Amen. Stand with me if you would today. I'm a great preacher. Because I don't preach long. Our church in San Salvador, we ran about 1,300. We had four services because we could only seat about 380 in the church. So we had four services every Sunday. And they loved it when I preach because I'm the 30 to 35 minute preacher. The man that I preached with, that I pastored with, he was the hour to the hour 20 minute preacher. Now he was a great preacher. It's just a little long there. But when I was preaching, the young people loved it because I was always the short-winded preacher. The only time I preach long is when I'm sick. I feel pretty good today. Luke chapter 19. I told Brother Kyle, I feel like body surfing today. So if I jump off into the crowd, y'all catch me and just pass me around. That would be great on YouTube, wouldn't it? Luke 19, verses 30 through 35. I really did have something else that I felt like I was going to preach, but the Lord specifically gave me this, and I just want to follow what the Lord says. I learned a long time ago, it's not about my preaching, it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do and what He wants to say. And I believe this is of God today. Luke 19, 30 through 35. Saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Pretty simple. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. Imagine that. Just what God said is how it happened. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. I want to speak for just a little while from the word of the Lord, simply from this thought, the Lord hath need of him. Jesus, we love you today. Your presence is so real to us. God, we thank you for what we feel right now, your anointing in this place, what you've done, your hand, your touch, Lord, what we feel right now beyond anything this world could ever offer. And I pray, God, your continued anointing upon the remainder of this service and this day. Touch your people, God, and meet needs right now. Supply, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This is the story that most of us know. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This was the one and only time when Jesus was in a large margin collectively worshiped and accepted by the nation of Israel. And he comes on the colt, and they put their garments, and they put the garments in the street, and they cut branches and laid them out. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And this is Jesus coming in, and it's an important time, and this is a celebration. It is as though a high point in his ministry, but the reality is just days later, many of the same people that are worshiping and glad that he's here are going to be lifting up their voices and crying out, crucify him, crucify him. This is not just a story. This is not just something that happened. This is fulfillment of prophecy from the book of Isaiah. And I want you to notice something with me. When you notice Jesus, he didn't come into Jerusalem, Brother Kyle, with a big chariot. He didn't come with some rims on his chariot. He didn't come with bling and some people on some trumpets announce him that he's coming along. He didn't come with a big horse-drawn carriage here and everybody around him. He didn't come in some big thing. He came on a lowly beast. It's not necessarily how you arrive. It's not necessarily the trappings all around you. But what really matters is who you are and that you know who you are. Let me tell you something, church, and this one is for free. It doesn't matter what the world says about you. It doesn't matter what they think about you. It doesn't matter if they reject you, if they say you're a failure, if they say there's nothing good in you, if they say you can't succeed. It doesn't matter what they say, because I know whose I am. I know who shed their blood for me. I know who paid the price for me. If they say that I can't make it, if they say that there's nothing in me for success, I just lift my eyes to the hills. That's the Lord, my help and my strength. He made me. He created me. I'm His. When you go to school, when you go to work, if they look down on you, if they talk against you, don't let it get you down. Oh, you don't have what they have. You don't look like they look. You don't have the house that they have. It doesn't matter. I've got one day I'm going to glory. I've got a mansion. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to walk on gold, because it's not going to matter. What's going to matter is I'm going to see the face of Jesus Christ. What's going to matter is I'm going to be able to feel the nail-scarred hands. What's going to matter is no more tears, no more crying. Jesus came into the city on a beast. But if you look and you study throughout his ministry, Jesus just used the normal stuff. He used the everyday stuff. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not any kind of scientist. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm from South Louisiana. That in and of itself speaks volumes. Take it how you will. My family all speaks French. And they talk like that when they want to say something, yeah. That's where I'm from. I didn't come from a prestigious family. I wasn't raised in the apostolic Pentecostal truth. I don't have a heritage that I can look behind. I don't have a father, nothing wrong with that. I don't have a father that was a great preacher and sent me to some prestigious university. Just a normal, everyday individual. That's who I am. But Jesus ministers to the normal, everyday individual. And he doesn't use language that we can't understand. Jesus could take some dust. And he could spit in it. And he could heal blinded eyes. Just some mud made with spit and dirt. That's not too prestigious. You don't find that in great universities. But you find it on the streets where the common man and the common woman is walking and living. You find some loaves and some fishes. I like fish. From South Louisiana, I like seafood. I was in Benin, West Africa, before Ebola, just so you know. And I was in Liberia last year, just so you know. Last year. But I was in Benin, and it was a crazy trip. I won't even begin to explain it. I went there for one service. 27 hours flying, about 9 hours driving, one service, turn around, take me straight back to the airport, back to the United States. That was a tough trip. And after the service, they gave us fish and rice. And they took these little fish about that big. What worried me was we were not anywhere near water. I lived in a third world country for almost 20 years. I've seen the fish just laying out for days on end. But they gave us these fish, and what they did was they chopped them in half. They had heads and tails, and they just fried them as is. As is. I like fish. I'm glad that I weigh what I weigh. Because there was a brother with me that weighs about double what I weigh on a good day and then some. And the lady gave him about 5 fish pieces, heads and tails. And he said, "That's enough." She looked at him, she goes, "Uh-uh." And she put about 5 more. But with me, she stopped at 5. She looked at me, and she stopped at 5. I ate 3 of them. And I said, "Dear heaven, I'm about to drive back 5 hours in a car, get on a plane again, and 27 hours back. I do not want to be sick from having eaten fish in the middle of West Africa." So I had 3 of them. And a pastor, one of the national pastors, I asked him if he wanted it. He gladly took the other 2 off my hands, and he had those there. But just the common fish, just the common things. Jesus said, "I'm going to feed you with some fish. Not with a great banquet, not with great delicacies, but just some loaves and some fishes. What everybody understands and knows." And he comes riding in on a colt. That is Jesus. That is his ministry. He ministers and talks about sowing seed, about the farmer. He talks to people where they live. He doesn't go above them. He doesn't try to get fancy in all that what he's doing. He reaches them where they live. So Jesus is coming in his triumphal entry. But that's not really what I want to speak about today. I want to speak about something that maybe is hidden. Maybe it's a little bit overlooked in the story of what happened here. Jesus sent the disciples into town. And he said, "There's going to be a colt that's never been ridden before." And he said, and if they ask you, "What are you doing? Why are you loosing it?" Just tell them that the Lord has need of it. So they went into town, and they found the colt tied, just as Jesus said. And they were questioned about what they were doing, just as Jesus had mentioned to them. And when they were questioned of what are you doing and why you loosened the colt, the answer was simply what we find in the scripture. The Lord has need of it. That was a simple answer to the owners of the colt. We don't know who they were. We don't know where they came from. We don't know their names. They are locked in eternal anonymity. But with the explanation that the Lord needs the colt, they didn't ask any other questions. They didn't ask for further explanation. They didn't ask for anybody, "Explain this to me. Let me know. Let me see your credentials. Who are you? What are you doing? I don't know where you come from. It's the 3rd Tuesday of the 5th month. You can't do that on this day." With the simple answer, "The Lord has need of this animal," the owners of the colt were willing to let it go. And what I want to talk to us for just the next few moments today is about our investment in God's kingdom and our willingness to give to God what he asks of us. Because the reality of this is this in our life today. everything we do, everything we have, everything we invest in, we are preparing for the kingdom of God. Everything that God has given us, our talent, our abilities, our finances, our time, everything that we are, everything we hope to be, our education, our career, everything, our family, is all for the kingdom of God. We're not here simply for ourselves. God doesn't bless us financially so we can buy more stuff for ourselves. I'm not against having things. Don't misunderstand me. I hope I can be clear with that today. I'm not against that, and I'm going to clarify that in just a few moments here. But God doesn't bless us just so we can get more stuff for ourselves. I know people that have made a pledge to the church, to missions, to God in some way, some fashion. And God gives it to them. And they forget about that pledge. But they remember Best Buy. And that brand new. Woo, Super Bowl's coming up, baby. Woo. Man. Look good on that screen. Thank you, Lord. And then this little voice, what about the pledge? Thank you, Jesus. What about the pledge? Thank you, Jesus. Go eat a steak dinner. Well, God doesn't just bless us. And some people wonder why God doesn't bless them. Because he can't trust them with what he gives them. I know people say, man, if I had, I would do. No, you wouldn't. I'd take care of all the churches. No, you wouldn't. You spend it on yourself. Now, let me get to what I really want to talk about. The owners of this animal had an investment of time and finance in this animal. We don't know how old the colt was. It was a colt. You're not supposed to ride horses, mules, whatever. Need to be about 2 or 3 years before you think about it. How old? Maybe 18 months, maybe 2. I don't know. We don't know how old it was. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, a minimum of 2 years old. The owners of this animal had a 2-year investment of time, of feeding this animal, of protecting this animal so that some other animal didn't eat it. They had an investment of taking care to make sure it wasn't sick, to make sure it was healthy. They're caring for it. They're watching it. They're some way or another, they're giving of themselves and their time and their finance, investing in this animal. Days, weeks, months, years. They gave of what they had to this. This wasn't just, let me tell you something, it's easy to spend other people's money. If you give me your credit card today, I will max it out for you. If it's not already maxed out. It's easy to spend other people's money. It's easy to say, well, that don't bother me. It ain't my money. I don't care. But when you have skin in the game, I don't care what happens to those people. Whoa, 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 whoa. Me? Whoa, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a little different. These people had invested in this animal. We don't know how much. We don't know all the details. We don't even know if God ever spoke to them about what he was going to do. We don't know what happened. But what we do know is, when the Lord came to them through his disciples and said, the Lord has need of him. What are you doing taking my 2-year investment? What are you doing touching what I've given my time and I've stayed up at night and I've been out there taking care of this animal and bottle feeding it and brushing it and I've clipped the hooves on it and I've taken care and I've washed it and fed it and cleaned up after it. What are you doing loosing this investment of mine? The Lord has need of it. That's all they needed to hear. If the Lord needs it, I'm okay with it. If God said he wants to touch it, I'm getting my hands off of it. I believe that God Almighty is speaking to us today. There are some things that God is asking for in our lives, and the Lord has come this morning. The Lord is here right now, and there's some things that he's shaking your tree. He's rattling your cage, and God is saying, I need that. I need what you've got. Are you willing to give it to me? Are you willing to let it loose? Or do you think it's yours? Maybe you've invested time and energy and effort in some aspects of your life. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's just a hobby. Maybe it's some possessions that you have, but you've invested and you've given and you've worked and all that's good and well. But the Lord has need of it. I feel God. I feel the holy presence of God. There are some things we need to let go of. There are some things we need to realize. This is not mine. I don't own this. I don't possess this. God has let me use it. God has let me borrow it, but it's not mine. I can't decide when and where and how. The Lord has need of it. I told you I wasn't raised in the church. And I just me the way I am. When I came into the truth, I came with everything I had. It wasn't given to me. It wasn't just here you go. It wasn't just here's the easy way. It's one of those things you have to fight for. It's one of those things you have to know. I've got to get this for myself because this, you know, the family's not going to help me here. There's not going to be an easy way to get this. I firmly, absolutely believe. I made a commitment, Brother Kyle, when I came to God. Lord, my life is yours. My finances are yours. My future, my failures, everything I am is to God. Whatever, whenever. I went to El Salvador. Trust me. Listen, I had a scholarship to the university back home. I was going to school. I had a job. I could live at home. I could go to university. I could work my job. Everything was good. God said, no, I want you to go to Bible school. I want you to go to Bible college. My dad, who's not in the church, got upset with me, got angry with me. No scholarship to Bible school. Can't you? Gotta go away. What's up with this? But I did it because God said to do it. I went to El Salvador in 1989. Some of you young kids have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of you older folks will. Right slap in the middle of a civil war in Central America, killing people, beheading people, killing the priests, the archbishop, and the nuns. It was a bad time to go to El Salvador. God said, go to El Salvador. So I went to El Salvador. My family was not happy. They were not pleased. But God said, that's what I want you to do. We loved El Salvador. We miss it every day. We wish we were back there. It is something that's inside of us. 17 years living there, working there, pastoring there. You have relationships. It's almost a lifetime. But then God said, I want you to leave, and I want you to go to headquarters, and I want you to work an office job. And I said, are you kidding me? This can't be the will of God. Unfortunately, it is, and it was, and he confirmed it every which way. So we left El Salvador, And now I work an office job at headquarters. It's not my choice. It's not what I would love to do. But I said, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. Wherever it would be, whatever it would be, it doesn't matter. If God tells me to pack up tomorrow and go start a church in the middle of nowhere or in the middle of a major city, whatever God says is what I'll do. I firmly believe if we're sold out to God, I firmly believe if we are 100% sold out to God, there's nothing that we hold back. There's nothing in reserve. There's nothing that we're going to say, no, 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 this area you can't have, God. Everything is released to God. Our energy, our time, our ability, our success, our failure is to God. These owners of the cult, unnamed, anonymous, but important in Jesus, triumphal entry. They didn't want recognition. They didn't want to be, ooh, let's look, ooh, let's give them a hand clap. Ooh, no, they didn't want that. All they said was, if the Lord needs it, he can have it. Well, Brother Slayton, that's not very deep. It's not. And it really isn't. The Bible doesn't have to be complicated. Are we willing today to give ourselves completely unreserved everything absolutely to God? God, if you want to change my career trajectory, change it. God, if you want to change my calling, change it. If you want to change my education, if you want to change my hobbies and my habits, change them. It really, really is that simple. The Lord has need of it. Well, where's the great big revelation? Where's the theological explanation of what's about to happen? The Lord has need of it. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. We complicate things. When I was pastoring, probably one of the most common questions for the pastor is, what is the will of God? Because everybody just wants it laid out for them. Next week you're going to do this, and in 6 months you're going to do that, and in 2 years you're going to be here, and then there you go, and so you take faith out of it. What's the will of God? Let me tell you what the will of God is: to be completely, holy, 100% sold out to Jesus Christ and his cause of reaching the world with the gospel. The answer to the problems of our nation is not more government interference. Let me tell you something. What the world needs is the church. Now, I could preach for the next hour on this because it fires me up, but I'm just going to mention it real quick. Politicians can be dumb. Don't get your panties in a wad, just hang on. Our government is trying to shut the churches down. I go to these meetings for my job. I have to go to these meetings about evangelical churches and what's happening in Washington. There is scary stuff happening in Washington against the churches. The best friend of this country are the churches. The church puts families back together. The church builds people up. You talk about self-esteem. Let me tell you something that's important. God Almighty robed himself in flesh and shed his blood because you are important. The church gets people off of drugs and alcohol and promiscuous lifestyles. We save a lot of money. We don't even ask to be reimbursed. People don't need to go to rehab when they come to the church. We are the best friend this nation and this world ever had. What the world needs is the church. What they need is this body. They need a church that is sold out to Jesus Christ. Are you willing today to give your dreams to God? Well, Lord, I really envision myself doing this. Maybe. Maybe not. Lord, maybe not. But Lord, I give it to you. I wanted to be a civil engineer. That's what my scholarship was in. That's what I wanted to do. I've done none of that. But I've been blessed to see over 30,000 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've been able to worship with people in nations all across the world. I've been able to attend church in countries all across the world. I never thought when I came to God that he would use me in any of those ways and allow me the privilege of what God has allowed me to do. A week ago today, I was in Indonesia. We were having a Chinese service. I didn't understand anything. It was in Chinese, the worship, the singing, the preaching. But people got the Holy Ghost. God allowed me to do that. I've never done anything, Brother Kyle, in civil engineering, but that's okay. I've prayed for people, and God has restored their sight to the blind eyes. I prayed for people and they threw crutches down and started dancing in the church. I prayed for people and God has done the miraculous, not because of me, not because of my special hand, but God simply following the word of God. I'm blessed beyond measure. Do you have any reserves? I'm going to close in about 5 minutes. Musicians can come if they want, however you do it, whatever's happening. Do you have any reserves that you need to just say today? Lord, I'm going to give them away. I'm not holding back. The doors are flung wide. The top is taken off. The hand is letting go. I'm not advocating you go and sell all that you have. I'm not advocating that. Don't misunderstand me. But I am advocating you have to be willing to do it if God says it. I love the outdoors. I love to go camping. I love to fish. I love to go hunting. I just like to be outside. I don't like being indoors. The church is okay, but I like outdoor church too. I've been in church in a soccer stadium, in a rodeo arena, under the mango trees, in a street, in a park. It's all good because God is there. I like being outside and doing that stuff. But none of that can take the place of the kingdom of God. Stand if you would. I don't know if I should say what I'm thinking about, say. not bad about you, it's, I'm just not sure I need to say. Brother Kyle, there's a car that I've wanted to drive since I was 15. It's almost 33 years ago. I own that car now. That's the car I drive. But I spoke to my wife a couple of months ago. I said, I can't afford this car. I can't afford the note. But I can't afford the car. Because I need to make another missions pledge. My wife and I talked and said, you know, there's more that I want to do, we want to do, and not more stuff we want to get for us. I drive my dream car. It's not about a dream car. It's about a home missionary pastor somewhere that could use a little love offering from time to time. It's about a missions project. It's about helping some young people go on AIM. That I don't just want to say, here's $50, I want to help you. I really want to say, here's $5,000. Here's $1,500. Because even though I can afford it, the Lord has need of it. And I really can't afford it. When Israel left Egypt, the Bible says they borrowed of the Egyptians gold and silver and brass and precious stones. God gave them treasure. But He didn't give it to them so they could get a big necklace, put some big earrings on, put some bracelets on. God said, I'm giving you the gold and the silver and the sapphire and the diamonds because I want you to make me a tabernacle. I'm not giving you these riches so you could look good. I'm not giving you this stuff so you can show off what you've got. I'm giving you this stuff because I need you to make me some columns, some crowns on the columns. I need an altar. I need a laver. I need a table for some bread. I need a candlestick. I need an altar of incense. I need some boards covered in gold. I need an ark and a mercy seat. Because God said, I'm going to meet you there. When you take what I've blessed you with, when you take what I've given you, and you give it to my kingdom, I want to meet you there. You could take wealth. You could take riches. You could take home and lands and cars and all that stuff. And understand, I'm not preaching against having it. I am preaching against loving it. God said, take what I've given you, and I'm going to meet you there. What we feel. Do you remember the day you were baptized in Jesus' name? I was 15 years old. March 21st, 1982. Never forget how I felt when I came out of the water. 3 days later, March 24th, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't pay me for that experience. You can't have it no matter what you give me or offer me. When we feel God in our worship and our praise, He meets us. It really is just as simple as the Lord has need of it. And today, God really doesn't want any of our stuff. He wants us. Because if He really has us, then He has any of our stuff that He wants. I've sold a vehicle before to pay a pledge. I'll do it again if I have to. I've sold guns. If I had to pay something, I'll do it again if I have to. None of that, it's stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Lord has need of it. So today, I simply want, and I'm going to turn this back to your pastor, but could we simply lift our hands and just say, God, You have me. You have me. You have me. He shalobo sataraba shotolomohai. All across this place, just lift your voice to God right now. He doesn't want your stuff. He just wants you. Everything. Completely, no reserves. Our musicians would lead us in worship. Hands raised to God right now. Just open your heart. We got some more stuff we're going to do, but for right now, just commune with God right now. Lord, I'm opening my heart. I'm opening my future. I'm opening my hands, everything, God.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Sing it to Him.
I surrender all.
From your heart, your hands raised, sing it to Him. Hallelujah. One more time. Come on, every heart, every mind on the Lord. Every heart and every mind on the Lord.
I surrender all.
Thank you, Jesus.
I surrender all.
Do you surrender everything?
All to be my
more time. I feel it. Come on. One more time. Let your heart go. The Lord had need of it. The Lord has need of it. Can you see yourself letting go? Loosing the colt in your life. The Lord hath need of it. The Lord hath need of it. Lord, we thank you for this message from your servant. I pray that you help us to loose the coats in our life, because you have come to us and you have said, I have need of it. Touch us, help us. Everyone be seated. You know, the Lord's the creator of all things. If he wanted a coat never set on Brother Slayton, he could have just made him one. Makes everything. But it was more than just the coat. It's what this man preached. It was the owner of that colt that mattered as well. The Lord comes to us and wants us to give these PIM slips. And I want you to get this out and get this ready. And I hope all of our members are willing to give something monthly. And I do want to say to you, if you've never supported missions on a monthly basis, it will bring the greatest blessing to your life that you will ever know. The Lord comes and says, I have need of this. And we say, well, you know, you own a cattle on a thousand hill. You need money, just get your own printing press. Print it. It's not the dollar. It's you. It's the owner that God really deals with. It's me that God really deals with. This is the most selfless thing that we can do. I think I'm using that word right, selfless. And that is given to missions. It won't stay here, won't benefit us in any way. Most of the people that will benefit from our pledging and our giving, you will never meet. We bring them through every once in a while. Missionaries stand in this pulpit and they minister to us their burden. You may never meet the men and women that you support, but one day you will stand before God. And you think it's just you and your few. But all of a sudden, from all over, you're going to begin to see faces. And who are these faces? You gave. Because you gave, they were sent. Because they were sent, they were reached. Because they were reached, they're in heaven with you today. You thought you were just putting in your little $10 or $40 or $50 a month or whatever it is that you pledge. But what you don't know is you're changing someone's life today. Forever. Not just the missionary, but those that are going to be touched. Ushers, if you'll come. So we're going to write our mount. Thank you, Brother Slayton, for that message. What a message. I don't know about you, but I got some colts in my life. And I got them tied up real good. It's a real good knot. And I've had the Lord even tug on the rope on a few of them. Pastor, Brother been preaching on kingdom, and you touched on several things that the Lord's been ministering to this church about. One of the things we just talked about, it doesn't matter what you own as long as you understand God owns it all. And that if he has need of it, you yield that to him. That might mean selling something, or that just might mean taking that nice car that God has given you and be willing to spend a little extra gas on Sunday and go pick someone up. We get calls all the time. We try to find people that live in that area, and we'll pick up the phone and, can you go by and get this person and bring them to church? And I want to say that I don't know if we've ever been turned down. You people are wonderful. You're awesome. If you have, my wife didn't tell me. And if you did turn her down, she just got in her van and drove 30 miles out of the way to go get them. Because I promise you, my van, my car, my house is the Lord's. And I wouldn't dare refuse him for anything. And all of you feel the same way, don't you? We all feel that way. So we're going to do our monthly commitment, then we're going to worship in a song. It's only 120. With all the extra stuff we did here today, I'm still preaching. I'm just warming up out of my text right now. It's like 120.